So let us listen for a word of God from God's people. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it.
For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stay in his holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation.
Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord of mighty battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you draw us together in this place, that as your church you draw us together, and you also call us out into the world that you so love in Christ Jesus. We pray. Amen. I came across this little book series put out by Grove Press. I forget when these were. I guess they were popular in 1999. A little while ago, and it's called The Pocket Cannon, not a cannon like a rifle cannon or something like that, but a cannon as in the books of Scripture. They did, I think, two sets of them, creatively called Volume 1 and Volume 2, and there were about 10 little pocket cannons in each one. They did, you know, 5 Old Testament books and 5 New Testament books, something like that. And the idea was, you know, you'd have one book of the Bible all together, and you could put it in your pocket. And they tried to give it a, you know, a nice black and white picture on the front or something. And I've been reading these slowly. They're King James, which I would assume they picked because it was free. And they, you know, they're in this thing for as much money as they can. The glue that holds these things together is not complimentary. You have to buy it by the bucketful. So they're looking for a free translation to use, and so they did. But whenever I read Psalm 24, I can't help but prefer the first verse. I just prefer the King James. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You get a thereof and a therein, ah, it's great. And you get fullness, that's what you want. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Makes me think of creation, and that God creates the earth, our home, and then the psalm intensifies the world, so kind of like the universe, everything that is. It's pretty easy, living in Florida, to appreciate creation. There's lots of creation here, and when creation found out how hot it was, much of creation migrated and stays here now all the time. And even at night, it's still hot. You can feel the heat coming off creation, and you can hear creation crawling around and doing stuff. I took the dog out the other night for last call, you know, last call, 10 o'clock. All right, let's go. We go out there. It's hot. It's wet. I contemplate how I'm basically living in a jungle. How did this happen to me? Oh, yeah, it's God's fault. So I'm out there with the dog having existential crises, you know, and she's kind of looking at me like, what's your problem? And I said, what's your problem? We need to wrap it up here. It's last call. It's time to shut things down. You know, go to bed. And I noticed there was a frog on the drainpipe of the house. Not a toad. I know the difference between toads and frogs. Toads are, for the most part, disgusting, and you can get warts from touching them. I know that to be true. You'll just get warts. "Put that down," said grandmother. "You'll get warts." Why would she lie? This was not a disgusting toad. This was a frog. Elegant, charming, beautiful. But it was right there in the drainpipe, right at eye level. I was very surprised, arrested by this frog. Let's call it the North American drainpipe frog, because there it was. So I put the dog in her house and tucked her in, and then went back out to check out my friend, the new frog, and looked at him and got as close as I could, took some pictures. He could blink with just one eye at a time, which I thought was very, very good. I thought that was interesting. I can do the same thing. And I figured he was probably kind of had that look like he just woke up, because he's probably starting his shift, doing his thing. There's lots of bugs flying around, so I thought, buddy, you're going to love it. This is great. And it's kind of wet, so that's good too. I think they like wet. But I was really interested in the frog. And I was like, man, you know what? This Florida thing may work out. There's lots of frogs here. I can hear them. You know, when you walk around at night, you can hear the frogs, and when you get too close, they all stop and kind of do their thing like they're waiting for you to pass. He was doing that too, but he was like, "I'm a drainpipe, I'm a drainpipe, I'm a drainpipe, I'm a drainpipe, I'm a drainpipe." But it didn't work, because I knew he wasn't a drainpipe, you guys, because I'm smart. So I thought, man, this frog thing's really interesting. I can feel some energy, some excitement about frogs. I need to find maybe some frog documentaries or something. So one day, Liam and I, it's summer, he's got nothing to do. I said, "Liam, we need to get on this frog thing, man. Get on this frog bandwagon. We need to find a show on Netflix that's got some frogs." So I search, like you would, frogs. Show comes up, Planet Earth 2. Now, I missed out on Planet Earth 1, but I said, well, you know, this is new. It says it's trending, Planet Earth 2. Forget that Planet Earth 1. Liam, let's get going with Planet Earth 2. Maybe there's a thing about frogs. And so we started in the series, narrated by David Attenborough, who I had to explain to Liam was also in Jurassic Park, which he was into because of dinosaurs. And I said, we live basically in Jurassic Park, Liam. There are beasts that just walk the streets all the time that could kill all of us, like velociraptors. So it's basically like Jurassic Park, but with frogs. So anyway, we're watching Planet Earth 2, and we had to watch through a few episodes of different things, mountains and snow leopards. Fantastic. All alone by themselves. If they could read books, amazing. But we finally get to an episode with frogs in the jungle. And there's a little frog, nothing like the North American drainpipe frog. This is called the glass frog. It's about the size of your thumbnail. Very tiny. It's called the glass frog because you can see through it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Here's some fullness. This tiny, tiny little see-through frog hanging out on a leaf. And so, you know, like nature shows do, in a very short amount of time, well, I'm very invested in this frog. This is my friend, the little glass frog. Looked more like a Steve or an Allison to me, but still, fine. And then, like all nature shows do, once they get you invested, then they bring you some anxiety or some peril. They bring you some peril. This is a PG-rated nature show, because now there's going to be a problem. Now we have to put our frog, our main guy, Allison or Steve, in harm's way, because there are wasps in the jungle that like nothing more than to, I'm sure they twirl their mustaches, all wasps do, and they want to eat the glass frog egg. This is no good. I've never liked wasps very much. I'm against wasps. Let me tell you why. Now, I know St. Augustine would say there's nothing evil in and of itself. It all comes down to your perspective. And he would say to me, "Mike, wasps like wasps very much. There's nothing better to a wasp than another wasp. They have a great time at all their conventions. There's nothing wrong with wasps." And he would probably even mention that wasps, since they fly like insects do, they pollinate flowers. So, Mike, come around, man. Wasps, they're the future. But I'm against wasps. And here's why. Bees are noble. Noble creature, the bee. When it has to defend the hive and sting, it does so at great personal cost. Loses its own life to defend, you know, all its brothers and the one sister that's the queen. So, I like that. I appreciate that. The nobility of the bee. I realize I'm personifying. But the wasp can just sting again and again and again. You think once is enough. Just sting one time and then kind of give a stern point, fly away. But wasps just get in there and keep. So I'm against the wasps. So I was very sad. I appreciated the little glass frog to kind of defend against the wasp with a really nice, stern kind of ninjutsu kind of a kick against the wasp to knock it away, defend the eggs. That made me feel good. But I started to think about how much I didn't like wasps. And I remember reading an article, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I remember reading an article in April, and I'm finally able to talk about it. There was the oldest living spider, which, spiders, they're better than wasps. But oldest living spider, 43 years old. They called it number 16. It was more of a Susan as I read the article, but the oldest living spider died. Do you know what did it? It was a wasp. This doesn't help my prejudice against wasps. It's very sad about that. But this is God's creation, right? This is all part of God's creation. We sang, "This is my Father's world." It's a very positive song. There's nothing about wasps in "This is my Father's world." No wasp section. So this is all part of God's creation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so this is part of God's plan. If we look closely, we start to see trouble. We start to feel some dissonance with this. Paul is trying to talk about this dissonance, the way that creation seems to be crying out in almost like labor pains, groaning for redemption. That even creation, there's some dissonance in creation itself, longing for something better, longing for redemption, longing for that glory, that future glory. This is all part of creation, and sometimes when we look closely, we sort of say, "Really? This is part of your deal? This is what you were doing?" Last week, Noah and I went up to Ohio. It's a long way up there. If you wanted to know, it is. It's still up there, and it's a long way. 14 hours, 37 minutes, if you didn't stop at all, which you have to do. So we went up there to see my mom, because my mom has cancer. She has cancer, breast cancer. And so... I knew I needed to go. I didn't know exactly when. I wanted to figure out kind of how the land was laying. So we went up to see her and to take her to a couple hydration treatments and kind of figure some things out. But when something like that happens, you spend a little time with God, and it's an unusual conversation talking with someone who knows everything you're going to say anyway. But you go through with it, and so I spent a little time in prayer and saying things like, "Really? Really? This is part of the plan? This is part of the plan? Wasps are enough to take, but then this?" You know, and you feel a lot of odd feelings, like things that you don't think you should think or say, even to God, like, "It's bad enough that Dad's dead, but now you leave me with her. I don't have a buffer anymore. There's no buffer. And she wants me to dig trenches and put down mulch. That's why I left. So I wouldn't have to do that anymore. Really? This is it? This is the plan?" And so you're sort of trapped between the reality that you're dealing with, the struggle. And you're like, "Well, I know that you're good. I know that God is good. So either God is not always so good, or maybe I just don't understand the plan." And that's where we as Presbyterians like to hang our hats. We know God has a good plan for us, that God is the creative God who takes care of us. Because if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein, this means that God has a plan. God has a good plan for us. We just may not understand it. This is providence. God's providing for us in each moment. And so we struggle. You know, we struggle with sickness. We struggle with, like, what St. Paul was talking about. We're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. I mean, think about this. The fact that now, in the golden years, we have all this time and all this money, and now our knees need to be replaced. And our hips need to have the tires rotated and the struts redone. what? This is not the golden years. Somebody's found tin and painted it yellow. This is a mess. But it's what we struggle with. It's real. Psalm 24, in addition to the beautiful opening, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, there's lots of good talk about glory. Glory, glory, glory. Mentioned a lot. When you were hearing it, when you were singing it, you may have thought of the piece from Handel's Messiah. It always comes back. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. It's in there. It's not Bill Gates. It's like a gate. It's not the Gates Foundation. A lot of talk about glory. Irenaeus, an early theologian, one of the earliest, said that the glory of God is the human person fully alive. The glory of God is the human person fully alive. We are created in God's image. God created us in God's own image, and we are destined to be fully alive. When Jesus talked about living life abundant, that's what he's talking about. For us to be fully alive, fully charged up, energized, living eternal life now, and not later. This is what it means to be the human person fully alive. And when we're doing that, we are practically glowing. We're glorious, we're radiant. This is what God wants for us. Obviously, if you watch the news, there's a lot of less than glorious activity, a lot of less than glorious folks that are trapped and can't get to that glory that they were created for. So the challenge for us in the church is to help each other, is to help each other as we struggle, to recognize that God created us, God created everything, God has a plan for us, and we were created in God's own image. And so we can help one another in countless ways to live our lives and be more fully alive. The glory of the human person is to be fully alive. So for that, we give thanks to God.